Glad to have Assemblymember Jim Wood on the line with us. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm surprised you're alive and up and with it, considering
what's
taken
place.
I haven't
been trying to be evasive, but it's been pretty busy, as you might imagine.
I understand that it has indeed. SB 901, the Wildfire Preparedness Prevention Act that you managed to get finished, it sounds like, on Monday night. How do you feel about its current status?
Well, I think there's a lot to be really happy about. I think there's still some potential things there that may not be completely correct. When you're doing something this big and this complicated, there's always bound to be some little things that maybe aren't quite right. But overall, I think that it's very sound, and we spent a huge amount of time trying to come up with the right formula to make something work. And I think we really did a good job.
Yeah, the conference committee is done now, right? Your work is done in that regard. And I know that a big part of this whole bill was something that you've been trying to do for many years, and that is provide a significant amount of money for wildfire prevention activities.
Yeah, since I started in the legislature and as I've gotten to know my district more and more, and just California in general, our preparedness and prevention efforts just haven't had the resources that they need. And so I've been pushing this for a long, long time. And, you know, I wanted more. We always want more.
Yep.
But, you know, $200 million for 5 years, $1 billion for this is a big step in the right direction. I'm very proud of that.
And, of course, it will come as no surprise to you that people say, it's a bailout for PG&E, this whole thing.
I disagree. I think that when you look at the big picture here, and we had two options. One is to do nothing, which most people believe would cause PG&E stock to be downgraded to the point where it would be junk bond status. It still may end up down in that direction, but that was a path to bankruptcy. And at the end of the day, when you weigh things out, bankruptcy is not good for fire victims. It's not good for ratepayers. And so we took an alternative approach, and I think it's the right one. At the end of the day, we're all going to pay a little bit more, and I'm not thrilled about that. But I think the alternative of paying a lot more far outweighed what we did.
And as I understand it, and please educate me if I'm incorrect about this, the part of this whole equation, this whole bill, is that in order for PG&E to request any kind of a bond bailout, their books have to be wide open.
Absolutely.
We're going to have Michael Picker on in about a half an hour from now talking about this. But mm-hmm. But it's not going to be solely PG&E's decision about how much they need money.
No. There will be a third party analysis, and we're going to look really, really closely. And the idea is to make the shareholders, make the company pay as much as they possibly can, to the point where we get right close to the edge where they're no longer able to provide safety and service to people. So I think they need to pay, and then once that's done, then the balance that is due after the liabilities play out, and that's going to be a lengthy process, by the way, then they will be able to, through a special bonding procedure, be able to securitize this debt, a word I didn't know a month ago, over 20 years. And the impact overall will be, in spite of what you may hear, will be minimal to ratepayers.
Yeah, the number is very much changed from the original conjecture of what we might pay. And it's down to a few dollars a year, as I understand it.
Yeah, and it all hinges on what is the liability at the end of all the proceedings. And these, if you look at San Bruno as an example, this will be lengthy. And then, as I said from the beginning, we still don't have the results of the study on the car,
the Tubbs fire, right?
Yeah, we don't have that.
Do you have any explanation, Jim, as to why that particular report is taking so long?
I have we've asked around a lot, and the answer that we get, and I don't have any reason to disbelieve this, I really don't, is this is probably one of the most complex fires that they have, CAL FIRE has ever investigated, because there were so many points where fire started, you know, within minutes of one another. And so pinning down the exact cause and the exact ignition points is not easy.
Yes, and I would think that we would certainly have it. I wonder if it's going to be sometime around the anniversary date. Certainly, we would hope by the end of the year, as a last resort. And why doesn't the governor just sit down and sign this thing right now? Why does he have to wait till Friday night?
Well, because we have to vote on it. That's the big deal. So the conference committee process, and this is unusual. We haven't, you know, this used to be done a lot, you know, years ago, where you'd have a committee, they'd do a report, the bill would go, and people would vote on it. But the way this works is that we had to have, there were 10 of us, there were 5 from the Assembly and 5 from the Senate. You had to have a majority from each House that approved it. We have to all sign the report. And then it has to go to the floor of each House to be voted on independently, and it has to pass on both floors. And so the reason it's Friday night is because we have a rule.
The 72-hour
rule. 72-hour rule.
Yeah. I learned about that this year, too.
Oh, so did. Well, we knew about it, obviously, and have been, but this really complicated things for us. But I think it complicated it in a good way, because this is so complex. It's giving people a chance to really ask questions and digest this, and so that we, you know, when we have that discussion tomorrow night, that people will be much better informed. I think it's actually a positive, really.
Yeah, it's 72 pages of very riveting information, let me just say, trying to get through it myself, but obviously worthwhile in the end. And you must have a really good gauge at this point, Assemblyman Woods, on whether there will be, you know, any uproar about this, whether it will pass, whether it won't.
I think at the end of the day, it will. I think that the downsides of doing nothing far outweigh what we're doing. And I know that it's not perfect. I mean, as I said from the beginning, these things are complicated. And at the end of the day, you know, there are things that we can go back and fix. And that's the beauty of this process is, you know, as we learn more information next year, if we've done something that's going to affect how we treat with future fires, we can fix that. But the important thing for us was, you know, how do we deal with the 2017 fires? How do we move forward here and protect ratepayers, protect fire victims, and keep the lights on, quite frankly?
Yeah. And just as a normal average ratepayer, a lot of people are wondering with regard to the PG&E part of this equation. So what if PG&E ran out of money and had to declare bankruptcy? Why would that be bad for us?
Well, at the end of the day, that throws everything into, my understanding, fortunately never been bankrupt, so is you throw this into the federal courts, and you have a judge who makes a lot of decisions, and that judge decides who's going to get paid and who isn't going to get paid. And at the end of the day, you know, ratepayers there will be a hit to ratepayers, and we believe, based on past experience, that it would be significant. And during the energy crisis and the time when PG&E went bankrupt before, there was significant impacts, and so it is a big deal, and we have to be careful. And you know, there are things that, you know, the ratepayers are already going to be affected because of the challenges that all of the utilities throughout the state are having getting insurance. So you're having to pay more and more for insurance, and that's a normal cost of doing business, and ratepayers have to subsidize that. So regardless of what we do here as this body, the ramifications of these fires will be felt with ratepayers, and we have no control over that.
Well, one of the things we do understand at this stage of the game is that insurance rates go up. We're starting to get that idea on an individual basis here. But so you've got a couple. You've got what, tonight to rest, and then you'll be full tilt boogie.
No rest for us.
when does the first vote take place?
The first time we can begin actually talking about it on the floor of the Assembly is tomorrow night around 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So,
happy Labor Day weekend to you.
Well, you know, the good news is that at midnight tomorrow night, we're done.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, we are done, and that's a statutory requirement, and nothing happens after midnight.
All right, very good. Well, I'm happy to see that it's at this stage of the game. Very much thanks to our local representatives, including you, Jim, and thanks for being here this morning. I know it's been a long week, but I look forward to talking to you first thing Tuesday morning. Fair enough?
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right, very good. That is Assemblymember Jim Wood, who is has been intrinsically involved, as has Senator Bill Dodd of Napa and several others in SB 901. And tomorrow night, before midnight, we'll find out about the actual vote on that particular bill.